ready. And I do pray that you might, as you lead in the ministry here, that you'll lead the church to send Justin and Monica and Dan and Donna to this discipleship conference, that they might be able to grab it. And Lord, what would be even greater, Lord, you have a man here and you can send the man with him, their new pastor. They will go together. And we thank you for that, knowing, Lord, that it'd be great for them. And now, Lord, as we look into the blessings that we have being in you, and as we rejoice in the truth, help us to concentrate now and then just grasp the rejoicing we have in this truth because we are in Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, Ephesians chapter 1. We're talking about the blessings of Christ, the blessings of God in Christ, rejoicing in the truth. We've used Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3. Let's just review briefly, and so we might go over that. He says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Remember what we said the word blessed means here? There's two words for blessed, and the word here means eulogy, spoken well of. So you could say, let the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ be well spoken of, be eulogized. And then it says, who hath blessed us? Who's the one that's blessed us? Jesus Christ, God himself. And so the idea here, the verbal form, really, is here eulogy, but the adjective, used as an adjective, is the idea of praise. It means to extol. So here it means to benefit, to prosper. Prospering of believers. God's going to prosper believers. Consistent with perfection of praiseworthiness. Every good thing bestowed and every good gift and every perfect gift from above, a Father of lights, with whom there's no variableness, neither shadow of turning. God causes all things to work together for good. And so God blesses because he's the source of blessing. There's no source of goodness outside of God. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us. Hath blessed us. The idea is we bless God as we praise him, speak well of him. When he blesses us, it's not that he speaks us good, but he does us what? Good. Why does he does us good? Because he is good. Good English there. He does us good, because he is good. And so our blessing is in the word. His blessing is in deed. And so Christians possess every spiritual blessing where? In the heavenly places. How did they do it? Get it in the heavenly places? Because you're in Christ. The one who joins himself to the Lord is one spirit with him in 1 Corinthians 6:17. So with what are believers blessed? They're blessed with every spiritual blessing. Every spiritual blessing. Every spiritual. Everything comes from God. His deeds, all the blessings. Then he goes and lists them there. And we're going to be looking at these blessings throughout Scripture and realizing the wonderful truth that there we see even in this chapter, the selection of the Father and the sacrifice of the Trinity, the selection of the Father, sacrifice of the Son, and the seal of the Spirit, that we do have what? We've given thanks for God in all things. And so what is it? The blessings of God breed a confident gratitude in Christ. We give thanks always for all things unto God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So God's blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. And how'd he do that? In Christ. And so those are the things that we have blessings. We can rejoice in the truth because we are in Christ. I can be confident in Christ because I'm manifested by his thankfulness. Now, we talked about rejoicing in that truth, and last week we talked about in Christ, or 2 weeks ago, that in Christ, I'm divinely set. I can rejoice in that. Today we're going to talk about, this evening, in Christ, I'm totally secure. And then next week we'll talk about in Christ, I'm deeply significant. All of those things. Don't you think those are good things to rejoice in, truth? Isn't it wonderful you're divinely set? What did we look at last week? Do you remember some of them? I'm divinely set, talking about my salvation, my position in Christ. I can be confident in Christ because we talked about I am God's child. Do you realize that thing? You're all set because you're God's child. I'm in Christ. I am Christ's friend. I have been justified. I've been declared righteous. I'm united with the Lord and I am in one spirit with him. Can you not rejoice and be confident in Christ because of that? Because you are in Christ and the Holy Spirit dwells within you. You all have been bought with a price. You belong to God. Think of that. The God of this universe. Tonight, you. Think of your own name. You say, you belong to God. You're a member of Christ's body. You're a saint, a holy one. And you say, boy, no one's called me a saint. You are. In fact, you've been adopted as God's child. And then here's a blessing. Look at that. We talked about we're confident in Christ because of we're divinely set because I have direct access to God through the Holy Spirit. If you were not set in Christ, you would not have direct access to him. You're not saved. You do not have direct access. The only direct access is through God's provision and through God's providence and that he hears the repentant sinner. And then we realize that I've been redeemed and forgiven of all my sins. You know what the big word in all of this, this verse, Colossians 1:14, I've been redeemed and forgiven of all my sins. For me, you know what the big word is there? All. For me, all. So I can be confident in Christ. I can rejoice in him because he has forgiven all my sins. And tonight or tomorrow, when I might not have the right attitude or when I do this or that, I don't know. I pray, Lord, I won't. But when I do, and he convicts me, I can go and I know he's forgiven me. Recently, the Lord laid on my heart about something when I was with my son Aaron last week. And I asked the Lord to forgive me and I called him and asked him to forgive me. Trying to be tender to that. And you know what? God's forgiven all my sins. I can rejoice in that. I don't have to be held down in the mouth. I can learn from it, but I don't have to be. I'm set, divinely set because of that, my position in Christ, and because I'm complete in Christ. That's all we went over 2 weeks ago. I know none of you remember that, but I do want to let you know that next week I'll give you the handout so you'll be able to remember it all. All right? But I want you to sit there and listen and at least look on the thing. But we'll give this to you next week at the end. So this evening, we want to look at, in Christ, I'm totally secure. What we're going to do, again, is just take each verse, look through it. I might even ask you to teach me some things, okay? I want you to be thinking. Because this is why we're totally secure. Our position, we're divinely set. So since we're divinely set, don't you understand that you are secure? If God's divinely set you, you have to be what? Secure in Christ. You have to be. He's the one that set you there. So there's a security there that no one can take from you. And we have quite a few truths in Scripture that reinforce that fact, that show us why we can be secure, which comes along because God is who he is. Many verses you'll be very familiar with. So let's start with the first one. Let me ask you a question. Romans chapter 8. Do any of you know what that chapter in the Bible of the book of Romans is called? Let me try to set you up so we don't spend too much time on this one. Set you up in that the first seven chapters all talk about sin, justification, regeneration. And so it talks about all that. And chapter 7 goes and Paul says, man, I want to do this. I do this. Then I want to do this, but I don't want to do this, but then I do this. And oh, what wretched man that I am. Oh, thank you, Lord. And then we go into chapter 8. And you know what this chapter is called? The victory chapter. So whenever you go to chapter, you want victory? You want to look at victory? You look at this chapter. We're just going to look at a few verses here. So let's look at Romans chapter 8, verse 1 and 2. There is therefore, in verse 1, there is therefore no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Okay, in another passage script down in verse 4, it has who walk not after the Spirit, flesh after the Spirit, so we know that that's a truth, whether it's really there or not. But look at here, it says, there's four words that I've been challenged that I see. Someone challenged me in one of the things study that I was reading. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. There's four words there. The word therefore, which is challenging because that's therefore brings all the things that had come what? Before it. So therefore, since of all that, I'm saved. Since all of that, therefore, and then the word now. There's no condemnation. Therefore, now, no condemnation. And who is that to? Those that are already divinely what? Set, which you just went over. And so we're secure because there's no condemnation. And it describes the believer, one who walks after the what? Flesh? No. One who walks after the Spirit, because the Holy Spirit dwells within him. The law of the Spirit of life is in Christ Jesus. That's what's made you free from the law of sin. The law is so that we can what? Recognize and know what? Sin. And when God saves us, he took the place for that because of his perfectness, paid for that. And so with that, we have a freedom. The Spirit of life has made us free because he took that, and I can be secure in his freedom, given me the freedom, because there is a promise here. What's the word condemnation? What does it mean to you, or what do you think it means? What are some other words for condemnation? Judgment? Good. What? A death sentence? Another good word would be penalty. Penalty. There's no condemnation to them or Christ. Do you realize that this evening? Well, let me just share with you a familiar portion of verse that will help us out a little bit with the truth. Very familiar, but listen to what it says. For God has not sent his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not, you fill in the blank, is not condemned. But he that believeth not is what? Condemned already. In other words, you were born condemned because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Because he hath not believed on the name of the only begotten of God. You see, you're not divinely set. But when you're divinely set, you're secure because there's no condemnation, no penalty. He paid it. You know, when you ask God to forgive you, have you ever done this? You ask God to forgive you, and you're so repentant of things, you ask God to forgive you for the same thing again. Stop it! I do it, and I'm working on it. Do you believe God forgives you when you ask him to forgive you? Well, if you ask again the same thing, you don't believe he forgave you the first time. Or you're just saying, well, I'm just making sure. Did he say that? There's no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. And so what? I am totally secure because I'm free forever from condemnation. Forever. Did you know when your heart opened to him and you said, be my Savior, forgive me of my sins, there's no condemnation forever. Let's see some smiles at least. Huh? Forever, no condemnation. Because you know the person you're going to work with tomorrow? There's probably a very good chance they're condemned. And they don't care. They don't realize it because they don't know the Savior. And their mind's blinded. They don't understand it at all. Well, go further in Romans. Very familiar. Romans 8:28. What's it say? And we know that just a few things work together for good. No, all things, don't we? What do you think all things means in the original Greek? Yeah, you guys know your language so well. It means all. All things work together. Now, when you are working together, what's the idea of working together? Okay, Gary, you and I are working together. Okay, let's think of something that we've, well, let's see, 20 years. I was gonna say that, but I was going to be a smart aleck before I said that. You know. But anyways, I won't be a smart aleck. I'll just, okay, Gary and I, many other things in painting. But what my wife was away, you know, and we painted the living room and the hallways and paint that she wanted. But I had to talk her out. She wanted orange paint on the walls. I said, no, we're not going to have orange paint on the wall. No. But we painted that whole thing. What happened? Gary and I were working together. What does that mean, working together? Pardon me? Good. In sync with each other. Great. What else? Fellowship. What else? One accord. Cooperating. But you're not getting the full thing working together. The idea of working together is for what? To get something done. Duh. Duh. You work together because you want to get something done. Something to happen. All the things you said are correct. But we work together. And you would even look at the definition of work together. It's working, doing things together, things so that there's something accomplished. Okay? The pulpit committee last Thursday worked together to get something accomplished. Don't know what was accomplished, but something was accomplished because they were working together to get that accomplished. And if it wasn't completely accomplished in certain things, it was all working together to see things what? Accomplished. So now take all of that idea. We know that all things work together. Boy, we can be secure. This is the Spirit of God telling us that we worked all things for good to them that love God. What do you think the good is here? It says, we know that all things work together for good. We know God is good. And really, he's saying that it says all things work together for good. So let me see. Something that you had a trial and tribulation. And over here, you had some rejoicing and an entertainment that were just a riot and fun. I was just thinking, one of the things that I, probably my best that I can remember, I'm not saying this is, but I remember, if you ask me, what's the best day off or day you've, one of the best days you ever had, I don't know what it would be. I know my birthday last, with all you there and my kids there, that was right up. I don't know if I could talk, but before that, there was a day years ago that Steve Allen and myself went golfing in the morning, and then in the afternoon went to the Grand Blanc where they had a golf tournament, a professional golf tournament. I can't remember the name of it. Buick Open. The Buick Open. So we morning went golfing ourselves, drove to Flint area, Grand Blanc, went to and watched the golf tournament, and then met the wives and the kids at what park? What would it have been? But we were seeing the Detroit Symphony. It was an outdoors, like picnic outdoor. We had blankets and everything, listening to the 1812 Overture. And we sat on the lawn listening to them from their, whatever you call that, it was some park, I can't remember. Might have been Meadowbrook, I'm not sure. But I claim that as one of my best days, a day off I've ever had. I mean, everything is there. With best friends, family, got to do something I sort of like to do. And did you know that same thing as that time when I got a call, I was talking to my friend, Jim Harrison, I think it was, and I got a call that the operator came in and said, please, Dr. Jackson needs to get a hold of you. So I told my friend Jim, I said, I got to go. And he heard what on the other end. So I hung up, called it. He was my dad's doctor. He says, you need to get here. It does not look like it's going to be long before your dad is going to pass away. I jumped in the car. Lewis, I'm sorry. I went fast. The hospital was a half hour away up in the north. And I got there at 5. And I think he passed away about an hour later, something like that. And I remember watching him. I remember us all singing around there. My family, just my kids, and Brendan, we were singing Amazing Grace. Of course, I couldn't get through it a lot. And I saw his heartbeat going down to, it was about to the 30, 40. And I had our kids come in and kiss Papa goodbye. And they went out, and I was there right next to him. As close to his face I could, I saw his last breath. And inside, that was just so much energy inside me. I felt like yelling when I saw that. It says, Dad, what's it like? What's glory like? I got that news. That's not something you want to run around and jump up and down and say, howdy, huh? And I had this best day over here this way. And they all work together for what? Good, because God is good. And you know what that is talking about, that God is good? If you were open to it, the very next verse says, we are made in the likeness. We are to walk in the newness of life in the likeness of Christ. That's what is good. This here and this here, they work together to get something good. What was it? So that I might walk in the likeness of Christ. So why am I secure? I'm assured that all things work together for good. To them that love God, because he first loved me, I love him. So I'm divinely set, I'm saved, so I'm secure in that assurance that God's working in every aspect of my life to be molded into the likeness, the image of God, which we lost when we fell into sin at the beginning of time. Okay, we're still in Romans. Boy, getting out of Romans. Maybe I should just preach for this chapter sometime before I leave. Romans 8. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? That's a good saying, isn't it? Think of that. If God is for you, let me ask you, who really can be against you? You're already divinely set. So if God's for you, let me ask you, is God for you? He is. You're in Christ. He is for you. So who can be against you? Then it says, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? If he did his son, put it on the cross, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Who's that talking about? Those that are in Christ, believers, his chosen ones. It is God that declares you righteous. Since God declares you righteous, who is he that condemns you? The world can condemn you, can't they? Your flesh can condemn you, can't they? The devil can condemn you, but it doesn't do a thing. Because God's declared you righteous. And who can make a charge against that? Because Christ died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. I am free from any condemning charges against me. I'm secure because I'm free from any condemning charges against me. Well, let's go to the next one. Oh, wait, we're in Romans 8 still. Maybe I should speak on the chapter of Romans 8 sometime. Whoso shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, distress, persecution, famine? In other words, as we might think bad things in our life. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any creature shall be able to separate me from the what? love of God, did you know that you're secure because you cannot be separated from the love of God? Do you know that? Now believe it. It's true. You're secure in Christ, and so nothing can separate from his love. He just loves you. 2 Corinthians 1:21 and 22. Now he which established you, establishes us with you in Christ. In other words, he's fixed. The idea there is fixed. He's fixed you. You're firm. With you is in Christ. Notice it says you're in Christ. He's anointed us. Who's anointed us? It's God. And it's God also. He's what? Sealed us. When God puts a seal on things, what? It's done, deal. The whole idea is the seal. Remember at the tomb, the seal of Pilate? He put that seal in Roman, and it was, if anyone touched that boy there, it would have been death, because that was sealed. Well, he has no word over God, and God had another thing to say about it. And we realize that God's the one that seals us, and he gives a pledge of the Spirit. Ernest would have the idea of a pledge of the Spirit in our hearts. It's a pledge. It's a promise. So what do we have? In Christ, I'm totally secure because I've been established. I've been anointed and sealed by God. That's something. Can't take that away from you. Can't take it away from you. Being confident of this very thing, that he which has begun good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. Notice it says being confident of everything. We see, realize this is a truth of sanctification. But that he which has begun a good work in you, who's the one that saved you and started this work? God. And he's promised to what? Keep working. And so what? I'm secure and confident that the good work God's begun in me, it's going to be completed. It's going to be perfected. It's going to be completed. Did you know that? So don't resist so much. It's going to be completed if you let God and stand before him then. Well, in Philippians 3:20, it says, for our citizenship is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me ask you something. Do you believe Jesus is coming back? We do believe it, but sometimes are we realizing that it could come now? But here's what you've got to realize. You are a citizen in heaven, and you're secure in that because you're a citizen in heaven. Much higher than a citizen of America, United States. You are, and you get all the rights of that because you're in Christ. And so because you're in Christ, you get everything Christ is. And you're secure in that. You should leave here saying, boy, no one can touch me. Talk about a superhero. I'm not the superhero. But boy, do I have a security because my citizen's in heaven. Colossians 3:3, for you are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. What's the idea of hiding something? Concealed, isn't it? No one can find it, right? Well, look at that. You are dead as you're in Christ because of your set, your divine, your set, the divine setting of Christ. You're dead in Christ, but you're alive. Dead to sin, alive unto Christ. But your life that is now a new life is hid with Christ. Did you know that? No one can find it to throw it away. It's hid in Christ. Does that not give you security? It's hid in Christ. And so I'm hidden with Christ in God. What a total secure mind I can have. Hebrews 4:16. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may attain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. We come boldly unto the throne so I can find grace, totally secure, because I can find grace and mercy to help in the time of need. Do any of you have needs right now? How about tomorrow? I can go to God. I have access to him, as we learned last week, because we have access to him, because we're set, divinely set, we do have access to him. So in that access, I can now find grace and mercy. How many of you need grace tonight? How many of you need mercy? Yeah, we're there, aren't we? Even when we make the good decisions, we've got to realize, oh God, your grace is sufficient. Boy, thank you for, you know, as I'm getting older and I'm driving, I'm really trying to be alert more than I've ever been. There's something about me right now that I'm just trying to, and every time I make it there, I'll go by someone who, you know, like I'll pull out, or I don't, I'll see him coming down, and I said, oh, in my mind, I almost pulled out, but I didn't pull out, and I'll say, Lord, thank you. You know, oh, this car, he moved, oh, thank you, Lord, that could have been. I find grace and mercy to help in the time of need. His grace is sufficient. I have grace tonight, and he's showing me his mercy. 1 John 5:18, for we know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not, but he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one touches him not. What are to you, one of the greatest truths in that verse that you can be secure in? The wicked one touches you not. Don't you think? You're secure. The devil can't get to you. Remember I told you the illustration this morning where the one pastor said to me, Mark, watch out. The devil won't get you. The devil can't get me. But I can be discouraged and depressed like the devil wants me to be. But guess who made that choice? I don't have to, because he can't get to me. The devil can't make me do anything. He can't touch me. He can't touch me. And I'm secure in that because that's from God's word. So I'm born of God, and the evil one cannot touch me, so I'm secure. I'm totally secure. And then lastly, for God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. Aren't you secure in that? Aren't you secure that I've not been given a spirit of fear? I don't have to fear what man might say, man might do, but I've been given power, his authority, his love, and a sound mind that's be based on Scripture. So in Christ, I'm totally secure. So I can be confident in Christ because this evening we looked at, I am free forever from condemnation. I'm assured that all things work together for good, Romans 8:28. I'm free from any condemning charges against me, Romans 8:31 and 34. I cannot be separated from the love of God, Romans 8:35 through 39. I've been established, anointed, and sealed by God, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 21 and 22. I am confident that the good work God has begun in me will be perfected, Philippians 1:6. I'm a citizen of heaven, Philippians 3:20. I'm hidden with Christ in God, Colossians 3:3. And I've not been given a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind, 2 Timothy 1:7. And I can find grace and mercy to help in the time of need, Hebrews 4:13 and 1 John 5:18. I am born of God, and the evil one cannot touch me, so I can be confident in Christ because I'm totally secure because of my Christ's divine setting of my life in Christ. And that's what you and I can rejoice in. We can rejoice in every one of these truths. And we can go away from here really secure tonight. You know, even if you don't get some of these, the bottom line, get out and realize, boy, I'm really secure. I don't have to be insecure because I am secure. And these are all truths in God's word, right from the Spirit of God that he's given us, his word. And so the blessings of God we have, the eulogy, the deeds that he's done for us, the praise, is we can rejoice in this truth because we're in Christ. Lord Jesus, thank you for loving us. Thank you for dying on the cross for our sins and rising again the third day. Thank you for giving us blessings in you. Thank you for the setting us in the heavens, the heavenlies, with all these blessings. That we are divinely set because of all the things that you do in our salvation. And that we are totally secure. That can bring a confidence in us because of your work in our lives as believers. And that we might be encouraged as we go away, realizing that everything works together for your good, made into the image, your image, and your likeness. In Jesus' name, amen. Lord bless you. You have a great week.